Chicago Sports Conversation is now.
15, 10, 5, touchdown.
Might be out of here.
Oh, baby.
The Beat on 720 WGN.
Good afternoon. Welcome to your late Saturday. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Harry Tynowitz with you till 5:30 today. Blackhawks and the Florida Panthers coming up. Red Hot Hawks getting it done courtesy of Corey Crawford on Thursday night. Ed Belfour in the building for one more shift. Harry Tynowitz, you were at the game on Thursday.
I was lucky enough to be at the game, and it was electric. Eddie. It was so cool. Crawford and Belfour just sharing a moment in front of the crease that Crow would dominate. 42 saves. Micah, both the goalies for the Hawks are terrific, and 37 out of 44 possible points since February. That's ridiculous how great the Hawks are.
Yep, and the playoffs right around the corner as we are, what, we got 8 games left? Is that
where? Yeah, only 2 more home games.
Right.
I don't even think there's that many left. And they're going to all be right here on WGN.
On 720 WGN. Judd has your pregame coming up at 5:30. John and Troy with the call at 6. Okay, so let's start here. Jerry Krause passed away this week, 77 years old, the architect of the Bulls dynasty, 6 championships. And if you have listened to the show, Harry and I have had spirited arguments about Jerry Krause and whether or not he belongs in the Basketball Hall of Fame. I've had those arguments with a lot of people in this city who do media and who don't do media. And some people agree with me and some people don't. That's not really what I want to talk about today. What I do want to talk about today, because when you look at Krause, and here's a guy, right, who grew up in Chicago, went to Taft High School, loved sports, wasn't an athlete, was short, was fat, was Jewish, as he talks about. The way he put it out there, he was the only Jewish kid at Taft, which there were people that went to Taft at the time and said, I was Jewish when I was there with Jerry. But it just added on to how he felt different.
Persecuted.
Right. So here's a kid who was, I wasn't there, but I think it's very clear, Jerry Krause as a kid was made fun of a lot. He was perhaps bullied. He was not the popular kid. And he probably, from what I can tell, became this super defended guy, right? And he sort of just retreated to his own world and where he could be comfortable. And he wasn't going to tell anybody anything. And he was going to stick to what he knew and what he loved, which was sports and scouting and being around it. And he was going to be a recluse and driving his car all hours of the night to go see some kid and then come up with this diamond in the rough and then, you know, appear to the whole world. Look what I found. Look at me. Please affirm me. Does that all make sense? Because I really think that that's how Jerry went about getting accepted.
Well, I don't know what he was like when he was at Taft, but I do know this. I do know that when I was in school, you tend to follow the cool kids. And when Michael and Scotty are calling Jerry Krause crumbs and making, you know, fun of him, and it's, you know, hey, on our side or on Krause's side, a lot of people that wouldn't have normally, go, you know, had ill will towards Krause, kind of like, you know, would join Michael and Scotty in mocking Jerry Krause. And he gets blamed for the Bulls, you know, breaking up the team for after the second three-peat, after the 97-98 season. It was Krause's fault that they didn't bring Michael back and bring Phil back. I can sort of identify with Jerry Krause. I mean, I lost 100 pounds. I've never felt bigger in my life. But, you know, when you're overweight, when you're, you know, fat kid, you got to work 3 times as hard with the girls, all right? And not to mention, you know, you got to, you know, go to a certain area of the shop or a different shop.
And it's not just, correct me if I'm wrong here, it's not just with the girls. The cool guys in high school, the jocks, they look like football players. They you know, they're in shape. They're not as likely. Maybe they'll hang out.
I've always connected with the jocks because the jocks have always appreciated having someone who's so far away from their world in their world.
But you're a funny guy, Harry. You're a personable guy.
Funny how?
funny in so many beautiful ways.
Yeah, right.
So, but for real, like you know how to relate to people. Jerry Krause did not really know how to relate to people other than loving them up and finding this guy and just putting him on a huge pedestal or talking down to him and making him the enemy. They were either a god to him, like Earl Monroe or Scottie Pippen.
Who he found. He found Earl Monroe.
Right. That's why I'm referencing him, right? Or you were beneath him and he was going to put you down, be it you were a reporter or you were, say, Norm Van Leer when he was just doing the broadcast and Jerry didn't treat Norm well. There was a lot of guys that would get his wrath. Chet Walker wasn't invited in to celebrate with the Bulls when they won the NBA title. Jerry told him, no, this is players only. That was the type of guy that he would be.
Ridiculous.
Vindictive. But yet also would go out of his way for those who he really, who were in his circle. Like he would do anything for Tex Winter, or he would do anything for his select guys that he was, the people that he was loyal to, Jerry right. Reinsdorf at the top of the list, right?
Yeah, the two Jerrys. Well, you know, Mark, if you're a GM, your job is to, job one is win a championship, okay? But part of your job description is dealing with the media. Part of what you do is every day when you go to work, you're going to have to take questions. You're going to have to talk to people. And over the years, you know, guys become close with certain guys. But, you know, Krause wasn't a big fan of, you know, he'd want to go like to the Moody Bible and watch guys work out, you know, when they had the, you know, the workouts here. He'd want to sit there and find the next, you know, star. And he didn't really have time for questions. And do you think your attitude towards Krause has changed since he passed?
So this is where it gets interesting for me. And by the way, if you want to join the conversation, 312-981-7200. I'm trying to look at my biases and people's biases when it comes to Jerry. Because I want to be, at the very least, fair with what he did and who he was, and how the way he looked contributed to how much ridicule he took on. And a lot of people gave him a ton because of how he appeared. And I am in that group, 100% in that group. You know, I was talking to Sam Smith, who was telling me a story about when they won their first title. Krause was very close with Craig Hodges. Craig Hodges, huge integrity guy, has been in studio here. Craig was a guy who spoke his mind about issues in the world. He wasn't just a basketball player, just a phenomenal human being. And Krause loved him. So, you know, when they win the first title, there's Jerry Krause sprinting across the Bulls locker room when he sees Hodges, and he's yelling, Haji. So you've got this Jerry Krause-like looking figure sprinting across the room to hug Craig Hodges, and I'm sure everybody can imagine the video, and he's going to be made fun of that. You're going to laugh at him. And we all know, even though we're laughing, that it's not right. It's making fun of someone's physical appearance is wrong. I think we all know that, but then we all do it, or sometimes we do it, and it's painful, right? Like, how have we not evolved to the point where, like, it doesn't matter? And, like, why can't this be just a great, joyous moment? So there's just a lot boiled into Krause that I'm trying to touch on here.
Right. You know, I don't think it's, you know, anything like, you know, some of the horrific, prejudices people face for their race or for their religion. But if you're, you know, a fat guy and you're hanging around the greatest, you know, basketball players in the world, at some point, you know, it's going to be noticed. Now, he won 6 championships. He won it with the team, but he's the guy that said organizations win championships.
Right.
I always liked Krause, and I think Jerry Krause, you know, Michael was here, but he was the only guy. Krause got everybody else that came and won 6 titles with Michael.
That's all true. He also, I mean, he hit on some, he missed on others.
Yeah, but he hit on big. He hit Scottie Pippen, Central Arkansas.
Number
33. Yeah.
Love him. 312-981-7200. We'll take some Jerry Krause calls. I'd like people to, like, look at their, like, when you looked at Krause, whether you're a Krause guy or weren't a Krause guy, like, where your biases are with him. Like, you just would look at him and he was just unpleasant. He was flat out unpleasant. He had a gruff demeanor.
He was easy to impersonate.
Right. He got mocked a ton, and I think what you bring up on the cool kids is super interesting. So, and how, you know, Michael and Scotty and Phil, those were the cool kids. Jerry and Jerry were not. 720 WGN. 720 WGN. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Harry Tynowitz with you till 5:30 today. Talking a little Jerry Krause. Adam Hogue coming up at the bottom of the hour from Arizona. He talked with Rick Hahn. He talked with Jed Hoyer. Bears have a new quarterback in Mark Sanchez.
Oh.
So.
I have a bias towards Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, well, so do a lot of people. The old butt fumbler in town. So, before we get a couple calls in here, 312-981-7200. When people talk about Krause in the Hall of Fame, there are no GMs in the Hall of Fame who never played the game. It's and only were just a general manager. Okay? So he didn't play like Jerry West played. He didn't play like Wayne Embry played. I think it matters. Like, if there was precedent that you had all these general managers who had built titles, Red Auerbach also was a coach. I mean, Jerry going in would be borderline unprecedented. So, to me, the Basketball Hall of Fame mainly is for coaches and players and contributors to the game, like Dr. James Naismith. I mean, that's Jerry, like there's this desire to put him in because Michael's in and Jerry Reinsdorf's in and so Jerry belongs, but it's not normal for the NBA to put in general managers, and you can't just look at his tenure in basketball as just with the Bulls winning titles. He was with the Bulls in the 70s and was fired and moved out of town. He also was a scout in baseball for a long time. I mean, he deserves credit for that. Like a huge portion of his career.
He started in baseball.
Right. A huge portion of his career was in baseball. It wasn't like he was a lifetime. And that's not to take it. That's even more impressive that he was doing two sports. But still, he was a guy that was very much involved in finding Ozzie Guillen, who tweeted out thoughts about Jerry Krause and him being with the White Sox. When Reinsdorf bought the Bulls, he went to Reinsdorf and told him, I can run the Bulls. And Jerry Reinsdorf barely knew who he was. But he was like, all right, I'll take a shot on you people. You know, I hear you work really hard. I mean, that was written this week.
Other sports, like Bill Polian's going in the Hall of Fame. I don't believe he ever played, you know, other than like, you know, back of the house, high school. So, I mean, other sports do it. They give the guys credit. It's going to happen. Jerry Krause will be the first then. In basketball, but it happens in other sports.
Doesn't that feel weird to you?
No, Jerry Krause should have been in the Hall of Fame, and it's just like Sano. Why do they wait? Why can't you give the man his due while he's still on the planet? It's horrible.
The Sano thing will forever bother me. Jim, welcome to 720 WGN. You've been waiting patiently. Go ahead, man.
Hi, guys. You know, when Michael Jordan... when they say they didn't get along, I'm sure he liked that $35 million. And that was 20 years ago he was making $35 million. You know, when they say that he chased them out of town, he had two of the richest years, and then he decided that, you know, maybe his time was up. It was mutual. It wasn't anybody chasing anybody. That's the way I read it.
Well, hold on. Hold on, Jim, before you can make your next point, but hold on a second here. Jerry Krause wasn't paying Michael. Jerry Reinsdorf was. And also,
he negotiated it.
Okay, fine. He also negotiated an 8-year, $28 million deal with Michael in his fourth year that made him the most underpaid guy in the game when he was in his prime for years.
But then they said you get it on the way, and he came through with their promises. You know,
sure, but I mean, come on, man. You know how much money Michael made the franchise? I mean, it's not even close.
He obviously, through endorsements and taking, you know, his own company, you know, there's so many college teams now that have, Air Jordan on it.
Well, here, let's move on, Jim. What else you got?
Did he scout Frank Thomas? Was he the one that got Frank Thomas in the fall, too?
I don't think it was Jerry for Frank.
It would have been after he was a Bulls guy.
But he,
I thought he still did that on the side. you know, once basketball season ended, I thought he went to colleges and such for both.
Did you always like him when he was, you know, back in the day? If we go back to,
I thought he was underappreciated. I didn't know why they booed him.
Right, right. Well, do you agree that it was a large part of it was because of his physical appearance?
Because of that, and he looked more like a scout than a GM.
Right.
You know, you wear a rumpy suit. You don't care what people think. Well, then they're going to think you're a slob and a fatso. So.
Right, right.
But if he would have, you know, if he would have been in the gym, it might have killed him with a heart attack or something. You just never know. But it's just, yeah. I really felt bad when he get booed and everybody else getting cheered.
Right. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate you. No,
Jim,
and I remember those moments.
Thank you for waiting, Jim. I hope there's nobody out of shape out there that's saying, oh, I'm not going to go to the gym because I could have a heart attack.
That would be a bad way to go about your life, yes.
And fatso is such a hurtful word. So, you know, careful how you use the F word.
Well said, Harry. Let's get Ron in here. Ron, welcome to 720 WGN. Your thoughts on Jerry Krause?
Yeah, like him or if you don't. You know, he won six titles. He brought six titles to the city. And every year he was the master of finding, you know, the role player he needed, whether it was the Cliff Levingston, whether it was the Craig Hodges, you know, signing Rodman. Going to Europe and finding Kukoc and bringing him here.
Great move. I'm glad you brought up Kukoc, yeah.
And, you know, the other thing, I read a couple interesting articles. He scouted Kirk Gibson. And he said, this is the next Mickey Mantle when he was in baseball. And then just the way he brought Perdue in. You know, he brought Perdue in, and he gave him a fake name to use, so nobody knew he was even going to try him out. You know, those were the things that he did. And, you know, you can't judge a book by its cover. And, you know, like him or if you don't, he brought six titles to Chicago.
Thank you, Ron. Appreciate you. In Will Perdue's case, and I love Will Perdue, but he could have used his real name. That would have been all right.
Well, I mean, they revisited the story this week in the Tribune. You know, Jerry Krause, do you think, Carm, that he, like, went out of his way to try to find guys from small schools?
Yes.
Like, from a Central Arkansas or a Virginia Union?
Well, he wanted to prove to everybody how smart he was.
That he was smarter than everybody else. Because he couldn't do the physicality. I remember,
which was, by the way, the essence of the Elton brand for Eddie Curry. I'm going to show you with my Twin Towers, Tyson Chandler, Eddie Curry deal, how intelligent and brilliant he was. That did not work out particularly well. Go ahead.
I remember what he said about Elton Brand when they drafted him. We liked him because his mother had big hands.
Right. I think that's brilliant that he actually would go and scout the parents to see how these guys would fill out. That's smart. Give him credit.
Yeah, do that when you're dating. By the way, for you young single guys, go meet the mom before you buy a rock for your lady.
That's
okay, actually,
that's real advice. Is it not?
The apple doesn't fall that far from the tree, or in many cases, the apple teeny doesn't fall that far from the tree.
Let's. All right, that was our Jerry Krause conversation for the day. Adam Hogue coming up from the desert after the 4:30 news. Adam's been covering the Cubs. He's been covering the White Sox
from Death Valley. See what you did there. Nice segue.
Now you jumped there. That's your brilliance. And also he does this thing. He covers the Bears for the station too, and the Bears have a new quarterback. That's straight ahead. 720 WGN.
I think we do a great job playing and having fun out there. That's what it's all about. I mean, this is a game. It's not as serious as a lot of people take it. But, you know, everybody got their style and their talk. So without showing anybody off, just keep doing what I'm doing.
Honestly, if you have a problem with Javi Baez or any of the Puerto Rican players enjoying the game of baseball and celebrating a home run or celebrating anything, the problem would be you. That would be my take on it. Let people have fun in their lives, and if a baseball player is getting all salty because someone stared at a ball flying over the wall, that would be on them. Let's get with the times here, team. Hey, it's The Beat. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Harry Tynowitz. Welcome. We're here till 5:30. Adam Hogue provided that hobby. What in the world?
Now you've done it.
I didn't do that. I don't.
Yeah, I'm going to get blamed for it. Then all of a sudden, I'm not here on Saturdays.
Here, hang on a second.
Nice going, Carm.
Adam Hogue.
Yep.
Why am I hearing myself? Hang on. Call back again. Now we got reverb. Do it again. Love you. Just this is going well.
Javi Baez, if he played enough at second base and at third base, could theoretically win two Gold Gloves in the same season for two different positions.
Now, that would be interesting.
How cool would that be?
Let's get that done.
Well, I think he should be the everyday second baseman. He played every game, started every game in the playoffs.
I'm optimistic that this is going to work out the third time with Adam. Hi, Adam. How are you?
Hey, guys.
Oh, there it is.
Good. How are you?
Okay, great.
Good.
So, let's start with Javi and the line of questioning as far as the World Baseball Classic goes. Would you classify him as defensive when he was talking about it? Because he sounded defensive.
No, I didn't get the sense he was defensive. I think he just was explaining it. He was kind of really low key with us today. I'm not around him enough to know if that's how he always is. But he really has to defend it. I love how those guys all played in the World Baseball Classic, and I think most baseball fans did. I asked both Rick Hahn and Jed Hoyer in the last few days of why can't players play like that, throughout the regular season too. And I think their responses were very understandable that, look, in the regular season, there's just so many games, and these players are trained to not let the highs get so high and the lows get so low in a course of a 162-game season. So when the games don't mean as much, they're just not going to be as intense. But, the World Baseball Classic was fun, and I hope, in rivalry games maybe during the season, like Cubs-Cardinals, maybe you see some of that. I just don't think it's really sustainable for, a random May game on a Wednesday against, whoever.
That's fair. I get it. But fine. When the big games come on during the regular season, let's get some flair going on here. Let's get some singing in the stands. Let's get some more energy.
You talk to a hockey player, they'll tell you every shift matters, no matter what day of the week it is, no matter who they're playing. Adam, always a pleasure. Javi Baez, after not starting a lot during the regular season, found a way to get into the lineup every playoff game with so many guys and a manager that loves to move people around. Do you believe that Javi Baez is going to be starting all the time, most of the time? How will Joe Maddon use number 9?
I don't think he's going to be starting every day at second base. I think he's going to be in the lineup pretty much every day. How can he not be? I think Javi Baez believes he's going to be in the lineup every day. I think we've seen now through two full seasons of Joe Maddon that he likes to move his guys around. He likes to have versatility in his lineup. And because here's the thing, this is not going to be as easy this year. I just don't think everything, other than losing Kyle Schwarber, which was a huge blow, one of the biggest blows that any team had to deal with all season, but it happened the first week, and they were able to adjust, and the depth was there. The thing is, something like that can happen at any point in the season, and you want to be able to have your guys move around. You lose Addison Russell. Well, Baez plays short. You lose Chris Bryant, God forbid that happens. Well, he plays third. There's going to be times where adversity strikes, and I think that Joe Maddon likes doing this so that if it were to happen in the playoffs, well, you're not throwing a guy out there in a random spot. Now, what I find more fascinating is the Kyle Schwarber thing, because he's going to be this team's third catcher. We know Joe Maddon likes to carry three catchers. He's going to be in the outfield for most of the time. But going in there and playing catcher randomly, maybe every 2 or 3 weeks, is way harder than going and playing any other position randomly. And yesterday, Kyle Schwarber caught for the first time in spring, partially because of, the knee. They're still trying to safeguard themselves and bring him back as slowly as possible. But he admitted, his timing was off. He, it felt good, but it didn't feel great. And, I'm interested to see how that works out during the course of the season if all of a sudden Kyle Schwarber's randomly catching a game and hasn't done it in a few weeks.
Adam Hogue down in Arizona covering the NFL and covering spring training for 720 WGN. He's just that talented. Hey, you got a great piece up on the White Sox, Hogue, at WGNradio.com, and you're calling them the Charlotte Four. Lucas Giolito, Carson Fulmer, Yoan Moncada, and Ronaldo Lopez, who are all being sent to AAA because the White Sox don't think they're quite ready for the big leagues, but these are guys that they are counting on huge for the future. So I guess I'm not surprised that they're all going down, but you talked to Rick Hahn, so kind of just sum up, you know, and I know we're going to hear from Rick on tomorrow's show, but kind of sum up the White Sox's thinking on what they're doing with their top prospects.
Well, they're being as patient as possible. Look, they know they're not going to be great this year, so why rush it? The thing about all these guys is all four of them got into the majors last year. They all played some Major League Baseball last season. They were probably all rushed a little bit, and that includes Carson Fulmer, who's the only one who did play for the White Sox in the majors last season. But, you know, I think the White Sox probably look back at that and realize that they probably should have not done that. You know, I think they kind of were still hoping they were contending at the time, and maybe he could help them out, but it wasn't really necessary. So the thing is most of these guys, Fulmer's probably got the...
It's like aliens just invade Hogue out of nowhere. Like he just like it, like it's like he got dropped into the play by play of the stadium out of nowhere. And it's like he's in an airport and where what 312-981-7200. What's happening to Adam Hogue right now? What do you think's happening, Harry?
I think that he is having an emotional day after the Badgers overtime loss last night, which was horrible to the Gators.
I mean, normally you would hang up right now and say call back, but I kind of want to see how this will play out.
I wanted to ask him about Mark Sanchez. Well, I mean, he wrote this great piece, and the piece is up on the WGN Radio website. You can read it, and you guys are going to have Rick Hahn on tomorrow on the beat.
Do you think he's still talking right now and doesn't know that he's been cut off?
No. He's a college graduate.
Why isn't he hung up then?
Because he never give up.
Never give up?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you got to live to play another day and call back. I'm going to hang up on Adam so he knows that he's not with us.
Yeah.
I think that's the fair move to do right now. That was very odd. In my extensive workings in radio, I don't know if I've ever quite experienced that, Harry. You've worked in radio longer than me.
I did. It happens all the time, and you know it's not Hogue's fault. I'll tell you, Jonathan Toews is like one of the greatest players in Blackhawk history, one of the great players in the NHL.
Bad cell phone.
He had the worst cell phone for years. We'd be so jacked to get Toews on the air, and he would have the worst cell phone, and he could be like across the street, and he'd still have a bad cell. And then the joke was, whenever we would get a guy with a bad cell, he borrowed Toews' cell phone. So it just happened.
So what you're saying is that Hogue has Toews' cell.
I think today he has his old cell.
He's not actually in Arizona. He's in Florida. I know there's been like radio guys who say they're one place and they're actually not.
Yeah, that happens.
I won't name any names.
Right.
But some people say they're at an event and they're not actually there. These things happen, and then they're filing a report from that event.
Are you bold enough to try Hogue again?
One more time. Adam, are you alive?
Yeah, I'm here, guys. And I think I figured out the problem.
Okay.
I'm willing to take 100%. Responsibility for it.
That's good.
Because I think my phone was connecting to my Bluetooth headphone.
Yeah.
Like automatically.
Yeah.
Which is probably why you were all of a sudden randomly hearing static.
It was like you were in the stadium speakers. It was kind of, I mean, we basically stopped the show to try to figure out what was happening to you.
So you Bluetooth the conversation, huh?
Yeah, I did. You know what?
It's good radio. Don't worry about it.
I wasted like probably 3 minutes there talking about the White Sox.
I knew it. I said, you think he's still talking? Because if he wasn't, I mean, if he knew he was off the air, he would have hung up. But here he's still on, so he kept going. Harry said that you weren't still talking, but I knew you were because you got a lot of thoughts on this. We got like 2 minutes, so I want to know your thoughts on Mark Sanchez because there is a lot of trolling going on at Sanchez and at the Bears all over the internet. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that this is completely overblown, and the only reason why there's so much discussion about it is because of the name. You got to understand that the Bears, the only two quarterbacks on their depth chart were Mike Glennon and Connor Shaw. Did people really think that's how they were going to go into training camp with just those guys on the depth chart? I mean, Connor Shaw is like an unknown commodity. He's barely played in the NFL. He was hurt all last year. People got so excited about like 5 minutes of football he played in the preseason. And you just can't go into a season with that as your only option as a backup. So why not bring in a guy like Mark Sanchez, who look, if he's starting a game for you, you have problems. But I think you're having the same problems that Connor Shaw is starting. So bringing a guy who has experience, who's been in a plenty of quarterback meeting rooms in the NFL, and can help bring along Mike Glennon. If you draft a quarterback, he can help with that too. And they're probably still going to draft a quarterback. I don't think signing Mark Sanchez has anything to do with the NFL draft whatsoever and then drafting a quarterback. I still think it's going to happen.
Adam, you are a proud graduate of the University of Wisconsin. I think that the Badgers are one of those teams that like everybody can cheer for. They're like everybody's second favorite or third favorite college, and they did it the right way. Four seniors went to their fourth straight, Sweet 16. I thought when Showalter made the three-pointer that they were going to win it in overtime. They had a big lead in overtime. Your emotions today on the way the Badgers let that game slip away?
I'm just denying that it ever happened. I think that's the only way I can get through it. Look, here's what I want to say to Carm and everyone else around Northwestern, all our friends over there. With success comes heartbreak. And I understand that there's been plenty of heartbreak with Northwestern. I get it. But when you get to kind of elevate to the next level and the games matter so much more, just make sure you're ready, because this kind of stuff happens. There's a lot of good things that happen, and then there's a lot of just, like, gut-wrenching, horrible. Like, North Carolina, for instance, they lost a national championship game on a buzzer beater last year. I can't imagine that. I mean, I guess now I can a little bit, but it wasn't the national championship. So, just be ready for that, Carm.
Well, listen, when I've watched the play now about 15,000 times, and Demetric Trice, I don't know what he was doing, not guarding.
I only watched it once.
You watch it again, and you'll want to kill.
No, I don't want to.
You're gonna want to kill Trice. It's painful. He's just kind of like wandering and looking at Chris Chioza as he runs the 3-point line off one leg and throws up as ridiculous of a shot as I've ever seen go in.
And Florida did not have a timeout. I mean, how do you not defend that?
What the Badgers did wrong too is they should have missed the free throw.
Right.
You put him in play and make him scramble rather than having to inbound the ball. Even though he just went all the way down the court, they still were set up.
You know what, though, guys? I like not calling timeout because they didn't have any. Why would you let them set up a Northwestern-type play against Michigan?
No, I'm saying miss the free throw.
I'm not saying you should call. I'm saying that Florida did that without calling a timeout. They just.
Well, they didn't have any left.
Right. I agree. I know. I'm saying that makes it even tougher to take. Right?
And as far as the missed free throw goes, I can sort of get that, but then they're only down one, and the reality is they had a little bit more. You know, he probably could have gone even for a two then. So with 4 seconds, I don't know. The bigger problem is just play defense. And they, like, they didn't play defense. They just let the guy get a straight run right down the court. And, you know, Trice wasn't the only one. Nigel Hayes just let him go right by. And,
well,
I don't know. It's way too easy.
Good effort. You were almost...
Play this game long enough, you can get mad at Nigel Hayes for taking the shot too early, leaving too much time on the clock. I mean, you could drive yourself crazy.
I think Wisconsin fans are actually doing that today, and that's okay. These things happen. It's the beauty of sports. It's the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Deep take right there by Mark Harmon, yours truly. Adam, I feel for you. I hope to never feel that pain, but if the Wildcats got to the Sweet 16 next year, I would take that ending. Just to be in the Sweet 16, that would be cool.
I think they will.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll just say this, and this goes out to everyone in the world, no matter where they are, what they're doing. Make your free throws. That helps, too. And since I talked to myself about the White Sox for 3 minutes and not you guys, just know that tomorrow Rick Hahn will be on the show, and everything I said he'll be saying, too, and you'll get it straight from his mouth.
All right. Three o'clock tomorrow.
And just 2 hours and 48 minutes till the Jayhawks start.
Bye, Adam.
Hi, guys.
See you, buddy. Adam Hoge down in the desert. A quick timeout. Indiana's got a new basketball coach, and it's a good one. 720 WGN. Hoosier fans, I think you're feeling pretty good today. You should be. Archie Miller, the new head coach at Indiana University. And this is a guy who's had phenomenal success at Dayton, has gone to the Elite Eight, has been in the tournament the last 4 years, has been mentioned with a lot of prominent jobs, and he decided that Indiana was one worth taking. Apparently was waiting for Ohio State and Thad Matta to leave. That didn't happen. The Hoosiers become open. He goes to Indiana, and Indiana does not hire Steve Alford. Harry,
shocking. I thought for sure. I thought that was Steve Alford's last UCLA game last night, but now I guess he'll be back.
See, I think it's great that they didn't hire Steve Alford. Steve Alford has an incredibly checkered past. Steve Alford has had success, and he's not had success. Why would you hire Steve Alford outside of the fact that you won a national championship with Steve Alford?
Because of glory days. Because right. He was 7-for-7 against Syracuse that night for three-pointers. Because number 12 is one of the great players in the history of Hoosier basketball.
139, yes, and right, all of that. But that's not like...
I understand, but there's a lot of people that like to feel that way.
Yeah, okay, and I get it. I mean, that was a great era in Indiana basketball. Really the last great era.
They did play Maryland for the title with Tom Cloverdale. Remember that guy? Redheaded kid?
That's okay. Okay. But
that was a run. They had a championship game.
Year was that?
It was like 2003. Maryland won it all.
Was that the Jared Jeffries team? Was he on that team?
I believe he was on that team.
Yeah. Okay. And I don't know why that's not as clear in my memory as the 80s Hoosiers with Bobby Knight. I actually know why it was, because Indiana at that point was Indiana. And they walked in, and you were terrified of them. Now you walk in, and Northwestern whips them. It's so beautiful.
Northwestern's just so in the right direction. And they're going to be out at Allstate Arena. And they're going to have that gorgeous new stadium. They're just set up to succeed.
I was actually wondering if, and I don't think that Chris Collins wants to go anywhere, but I was wondering if Indiana would at least make a phone call. Because if I was Indiana, I would have made that phone call. Hey, Archie Miller's a phenomenal hire. 139-63 in his career. Won the Atlantic 10 the last 2 years.
Right. You know why he's a great hire? His brother, of course, the head coach at Arizona, but he's the son of a coach.
Right. It's been in his blood the whole time.
I love sons of coaches.
So Chris Collins happened to be a son of a coach,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Also, his dad happened to be the first pick in the NBA draft.
Right. I mean, there's a lot to love there. But let's just keep him with the purple. Right. All right. Quick timeout, 720 WGN.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN, 508, only 22 more minutes of show until the Blackhawks take over these airwaves. Judd Sirai with your pregame on the road, first of a three-game road trip as they take on the Florida Panthers. I'm Mark Harmon, he's Harry Tynowitz. The number one leader of the entire world has been decided, Harry. And there's some great people out there, some phenomenal social workers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people that do that part-time.
Right. Well, I just thought the Pope would be named the greatest leader.
And the Pope is phenomenal.
But the Pope was not named number one, was he?
Pope was not number one. The Pope was number three.
So if you had bet on the Pope to show, you win.
The Pope to show was a victory. And by the way, Harry's got a very interesting horse racing tidbit coming up before we get out here at 5:30. We'll get to that in a second. He's been talking about it all day. Melinda Gates, who is doing phenomenal work.
Mrs. G,
making birth control available to 120 women globally. That was number four. There are some big-time names here as you go down the list. People that have had a lot of influence on the world. You know, Angela Merkel doing a great job as far as leading the world stage from her post in Germany. LeBron James, even if we're in the sporting world, is number 11. A very popular guy, right? But at the top of the list, from your Chicago Cubs, your World Series
champion Chicago Cubs, thank you.
Yeah, your World Series champion Chicago Cubs, Theo Epstein, the number one leader in the world. And I actually think that Forbes did a great job and actually got this correct. Because what would you not trust Theo Epstein to do? And Theo, by the way,
mm-hmm,
in great leader form, like there's some leaders out there, they want to take a lot of credit.
Right.
Not Theo. Theo, finding out that he's the number one leader in the world. I can't even get my dog to stop peeing in the house. That is ridiculous. The whole thing is patently ridiculous. It's baseball, a pastime involving a lot of chance. If Zober's ball is 3 inches farther off the line, I'm on the hot seat for a failed 5-year plan, and I'm not even the best leader in our organization. Our players are. And that's what a great leader does. He deflects and says, you know what, it's not about me, it's about everybody else. But Theo, like, is there anything in the world you wouldn't trust Theo to do?
Boy. I wouldn't trust him to leave Patrick Sharp's new house alone.
Okay,
because Patrick Sharp bought a house, and then turns out Theo ended up buying it after him. But that, you know, I don't know the full story. Well,
but that's a great move by Theo. He saw an opportunity with Patrick leaving, and he jumped on it.
The two great baseball teams. I mean, the White Sox had gone forever. Okay, the White Sox hadn't won a championship since 1917. You know, when they won the championship, but the Red Sox hadn't won in forever. Theo is the guy that led the Red Sox to their championship and did it again. The Cubs, we all know, 108 years. And Theo came in here and said, we're going to tear it down and build it back up again. That's what he did.
Theo told you exactly what he was going to do. He followed through on his plan, and he brought joy to Cub fans everywhere. So many people who had been in so much baseball pain. Theo took on the whole mountain, the entire elephant, all of it, and delivered, if not on time, it was early. And so, you know, I know he's downplaying it, but I would like to put out there to our WGN listeners, 312-981-7200. We can get this tape to Theo. And we'd like you to submit what you would like Theo to do for you. Like my accountant, he's coming up a little short these days. The IRS is after me.
You want Theo to do your taxes?
I think I would like Theo to do my taxes, and I think Theo would do a great job. I think Theo could be amazing. I think Theo, if I had Theo mow my lawn, if I had a lawn, I don't have a lawn, but if I did, I think Theo would be so meticulous and it'd be so perfect that it would be, he'd be just right down the center every single time.
See, I would like ask Theo if he could talk to my son Reggie about getting off video games and you know, maybe playing some baseball or whatever sport he wanted to.
And I think Theo could look at Reggie, and Reggie would look at Theo and respond to him and realize that, you know what, I should listen to you. My dad, yeah, sometimes I don't respect him as much, but looking at Theo, I think Reggie would step up.
Oh, he gets that from his mother. You know, do you know what character, what fictitious character Theo Epstein is?
Superman?
Close. Go ahead. Got another guess?
Wonder Woman?
Why Wonder Woman?
Well, I think Theo is just that attractive that he could be Wonder Woman, too.
He is a handsome man and an intelligent man. Theo Epstein is King Arthur.
Yes.
He pulled the sword from the stone.
He did. He absolutely did. That's a great call. 312-981-7200. What would you like Theo to solve in your life? Because, I mean, Theo could do a lot.
He did the greatest thing I wanted him to solve.
Right?
He found a way for the Cubs to win the World Series. And it wasn't a fluke. It wasn't like, well, it rained. You know, I mean, it did rain. But, like, you're at the track and it pours rain, so a long shot wins. I mean, the Cubs are set up to win again this year.
Not just this year.
Oh, yeah. Keep going.
I mean, it's a minimum three-peat.
Yeah, don't become LeBron now.
312 texting in fake news. Real leader of the free world is Dave Ennett. Dave Ennett's a great man, and he is.
He leads the sports department here.
He leads the sports department at WGN, but with all due respect to Dave Ennett, Theo Epstein is just better than Dave Ennett. He just is.
In what way?
Theo.
Do you think that Theo Epstein could have described Pardon's last second basket against the Wolverines?
Not the way
that Dave Ennett
that's
did.
That's true. That's a good point.
Taphorn threw the ball like, you know, the perfect pass in the history of the game of basketball. You think Theo could have called it better?
I mean, that's all true. But I think that leading the Red Sox and the Cubs to the World Series and healing the hearts of millions is as great as Dave is, I think Theo gets it. 516 texting in, I would like Theo to wax my back. I think that Theo...
Come on.
I think Theo...
Come on.
Theo would apply the hot oil in such a meticulous, precision-like manner. Theo would do it, and he would tell you that it's going to hurt just the... He would be able to gauge exactly how much it would hurt, Harry, and then it would be right there, and you would be prepared for it. Theo would have you ready.
You have no idea how much that hurts, by the way.
Yeah, I've seen you do it. It looked painful. 847, if I were pregnant, I'd trust Theo to deliver my baby.
That is trust.
Right?
Right. Is that from a girl or a guy?
I think that, I don't know. It's the 847. They don't identify gender there. But I'm assuming that if I were pregnant, that would be a woman speaking. But I suppose it could be a guy saying if he was a woman.
Could be a bad Schwarzenegger movie.
Right. 312-981-7200. I mean, 217, you're not getting the spirit of this. What the hell do evaluators from Forbes know about real-life leadership? They know everything, sir.
You know, you read about 15 names, and you didn't read me our president's name. Is Trump not on that list?
Donald Trump, somewhat shockingly, is not on the list.
No, McCain, you said, was on it, right?
McCain is number nine. John McCain, number nine.
Merkel is on there?
Angela Merkel is on there, yes. Got to be honest, man, I have a slight issue with the internet here. It's scrolling through these names. I'm getting a... So I can't have... I don't have everything right in front of me, Harry. I apologize.
Don't apologize to me.
Well, I feel like I must. I mean, H.R. McMaster is on here. McMaster, who's Mr. Defense, mm-hmm. protecting the world, you know, universally approved by Democrats and Republicans. He's on the list, but he's not number one. Theo is number one, Harry.
Is Stan Bowman on the list?
Stan Bowman's not on the list.
He should be.
Stan Bowman could be on the list.
I'd put him on the list.
Theo again is downplaying it, but you know, just for me, Mark Harmon, only speaking for myself here.
You know, the Bears winning the Super Bowl, we still celebrate that, and I still maintain that's the greatest defense of all time, and they had Walter Payton on that team. All right, so that's like, you know, the greatest football memory ever, greatest Super Bowl ever. But I don't know of a more, you know, and Michael Jordan was, you know, the greatest basketball player ever. He won 6 championships. But I don't know. I think Jordan was more likely to come here and win a championship than Theo was to win to win one. Jordan's more likely to come here and win 6, being the greatest, and with Scottie Pippen and Grant.
Well, and let's be honest. It took Mike 7 years to win a title here. It took Theo 5.
Right. And Jerry Krause had to get the right pieces around him. I mean, I don't mean to disrespect, you know, the other players by saying pieces, but...
I mean, I'm the biggest Michael fan you'll ever find, but, I mean, Theo could be greater than Michael. I mean, Michael's gone on to be an owner in Charlotte. What have they done? Theo leaves Boston. He comes to the Cubs. He's 1-2. 708 texting in. Theo could be the mediator of my divorce. I think Theo would do a great job. I think Theo would bring you together. I think you guys would be able to split the cups and the saucers incredibly well under Theo's leadership.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's not that easy.
Yeah, right. That's what you think. But then Theo could simplify.
Theo could just do it.
Yeah. 219 is really defending Dave Ennett. I think a bunch of other people do.
Well, they should.
The great Dave Ennett has carried the WGN sports department entirely on his back for several years.
Did you hear the Pinstripe Bowl, my man? Maybe you did not hear the Pinstripe Bowl.
I heard the Pinstripe Bowl.
You think Theo Epstein could have been at Yankee Stadium and made that such an exciting game as Theo did?
I mean, I got to be honest.
I mean, as Dave did?
I did not think that when we were going to do the Theo number one leader in the entire world, that it was going to be Theo versus Dave Ennett. I didn't think that was going to happen, but that is what's happened.
You felt like a politician.
And you know, I'm trying to be fair and honest here, fair and not biased, as, you know, getting back to our Jerry Krause at the start of the show. Mm-hmm. And I love my boss, Dave Ennett, but I can't put him above Theo if we're doing a real show here.
Well,
I just can't do it.
That's good quality. You don't want to be a company man. You don't want to suck up for no reason.
I thought that's what you're supposed to do.
No. You stupid, you do that.
Okay. All right. There's the Blackhawks playing hockey tonight. We'll move on from Theo. Hopefully, in some way, shape, or form, not that the Hawks need it, but he can lead them as well. And by the way, he could tell me you wouldn't want Theo to...
We're Bulls free tonight. That was awful. That was awful. I mean, I always believe Chicago's going to come back and win. I'm Harry Poppins. But they 10 guys dressed last night, the Sixers? They're missing one of their best players?
That was horrible. You don't have to do this. He also could lead the Bears. Tell me you wouldn't rather have Theo leading the Bears than who you have leading the Bears. People still texting, and could Theo pass a balanced budget? Of course Theo could pass a balanced budget. Did you hear him speak at the White House when the Cubs were at the White House? It was one of the greatest speeches ever, for real. All Theo all the time. The number one leader in the entire world. And he's right here in Chicago at Wrigley Field. Let's all just let that soak in.
He pulled the sword from the stone.
720 WGN.
And Artemi Panarin will be the next shooter. Takes the puck at center ice. Panarin over the Stars line. Down the left wing. Cuts back across the slot. Dinks it. He scored from the backhand into the top shelf. Oh, did Panarin put some mustard on that left, Lettinen reaching for the puck the other way and put it way up into the top shelf, just under the crossbar.
Yeah, baby, Blackhawks hockey coming up. The Florida Panthers. Why does Florida have a hockey team? I can't answer that. Got a bunch of stuff to jam in here before the end of the show.
By the way, you got to love Dan Long. What state are the Hawks in tonight?
That would be Florida.
Florida.
I mean, the man is a he's a genius.
Genius.
Okay, you wanted to get a horse racing thing out. We're going to preview the Blackhawks, and I want to make mention that Joakim Noah, if you missed the news, was suspended 20 games for taking a banned substance. Noah has not denied taking it. It had some, it was an over-the-counter deal, but it had been banned. It's been banned by the Olympics as well. And so Joakim, 20 games. And if he doesn't get cleared to play by the end of the season, then that's 20 games to start next year for the Knicks, which is obviously not what you want for Joakim and the Knicks. So, but it's interesting that he's not denying any of it. He's not fighting it. And guy that was beloved here.
Still loved. A lot of people don't appreciate Rose because, and he's from Chicago, but people love Joakim.
Right, and I think Joakim clearly trying to do everything he possibly can to get his body right, and it's just not responding. So it's really too bad at the end of the day because I don't think Joakim will ever be the player he used to be. Talk about your horse racing thing, Harry.
Today was a $10 million race, the richest race in the world until they started a $12 million race this year. But the horse that won the $12 million race in January is the same horse that won the $10 million race today. So here's a horse that a year ago today had never won a race.
Why is this important?
Because he's now the richest horse in the history of North America. He's earned the most money. His name is Arrogate.
Ooh.
In his last two races, he's made $13 million.
Do you own him?
I wish I did.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, boy, would life be different. So Arrogate now, in just eight races, he's run eight races, and he has made $17 million, and the 51-year-old jockey, Mike Smith, rode him.
Congratulations to Mike Smith. Way to stay in there at 51. All right, we got 40 seconds. Thoughts on the Hawks, who, I'll just say this, Patrick Kane, number 33 the other night, the shootout goal against Dallas just is magical, so beautiful, so Patrick Kane. And Corey Crawford bouncing back after giving up six shots, gave up four goals. That was so not Crow, but right. He came right back and saved 42 shots. That was a beautiful thing.
Marian Hossa is skating on the third line, and he still has these fantastic offensive numbers. He's playing defense. I want people to appreciate how great Marian Hossa is. He's a Hall of Famer, and he's on the third line, putting up those numbers.
I'm also noticing that Hartman is turning into the new Shaw. He's in there. He's causing problems. I like it.
It's exciting. Judd Surratt's got the pregame. Coming, hello, Judley.
Coming right up on 720 WGN. Thanks to Adam Hogue down in the desert joining us. Adam will be on tomorrow. Rick Hahn, Jed Hoyer on the show. Thank you to Dan Long for producing. Harry, have a great night. Go Jayhawks.
Rock Chalk.
Blackhawks are next. 720 WGN.